Live Uncommon. I've been saying that a lot lately. Ever since we changed the name of our church, I've been saying, okay, well, I just want to live uncommon. I want to live uncommon because how many of you guys know that going to a church that's named Uncommon doesn't mean that you live uncommon? Like, it's a totally different thing. And so as I was asking God, what exactly do I mean by that? Like, I knew in my heart, but help me to flesh that out. What does that look like to live an uncommon life? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And the first thing that I wanted to say is that living an uncommon life, live uncommon, to me means that you live on mission. Now, have any of you guys ever been on a mission trip? How many of you guys have been on a mission trip? Okay, so there's quite a few. For those of you that have not, just imagine, if you will, that you're on a mission trip, because here's how it goes. You have to take off work. You have to pay money to go, and you leave all of your other responsibilities behind. Often you leave your kids behind if you got them. You don't have to cook and make your bed and all those things. All you got to do is, for the week that you're wherever you are, you focus on the mission before you, which is to share the gospel, to maybe build something, to be God's love to the people around you, and you just got to follow your team leader. Like, you're so focused on it. And a couple of years ago, we were in Mexico. We were on a mission trip, short-term mission trip. And I remember we were driving in the van, and it's like everywhere we go, God was moving. He was speaking to us. The whole team, we were just in that van praying. And we saw this woman on the side of the road, and several of us said, okay, I feel like we need to pull over and stop and pray for that woman. So we did, and it was one of those God appointments where she needed healing in her leg, and God touched her, and we got to pray with her, and we gave her rice and beans for her family. It was one of those, like, just, yes, we had heard right. We needed to stop. We needed to be God for her in that moment. And then I remember we came home, and I had been gone a while, so there was no food at home. So I went to Walmart, and I started shopping around, and I was thinking, my mind is like, okay, I need cereal, I need milk, probably need eggs. And I'm loading my cart up, and I'm thinking, you know, the kids, we're going to have all this laundry now. What am I going to make for dinner? Yada, yada. And I get home, and God was like, did you think about me that whole time at all while you were shopping? It was like I was on mission in Mexico, and then I came home, and what? Like, God doesn't want to use me at Walmart in Bedford? We live our lives so unaware of the Holy Spirit and God and what he wants to do through us. If we are to live uncommon, that means that we live on mission all the time, not just on a mission trip. We are not about our own life. We're about the business of heaven. That is our mission. We're going to read from the scriptures. Jesus was on mission from the very first time. Before he was even born, there were prophetic words, and he was fulfilling the plan of God for him being born right at that moment. We see where he was brought to the temple, and there was prophetic words. And then we find him when he's 12 years old. If you guys remember the story, he was his parents couldn't find him, and they finally located him in the temple. And they said, where have you been? And he said, I had to be about my father's business. He was already at 12 years old. It's not an age thing. It's like a mission for life thing. He was about his father's business. He was on mission. And it was a mission that started way back in Genesis with the fall, when that fruit was eaten from the Garden of Eden. Ever since back then, God had ordained for Jesus to come and be the Savior of the world. The same is true for us. He has ordained something for us to do. Right here and right now, not just on our 1 week mission trip when we take off work. Let's read from John chapter 4 and verse 34. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. And then Jesus, we all know he died and rose again, fulfilled his ultimate mission, and he went up to heaven. And here's what he did. He gave us his mission. He gathered his disciples around, and we all know the Great Commission, but that is the mission that he gave us. He's like, okay, here's the baton. I'm done with my part. Now I'm handing it to you. What are you going to do with it? Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because all authority had been given to Jesus, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey my commands, and be sure of this, I will be with you always, even till the end of the age. So Jesus was done, and he handed his mission to us. If we're going to live uncommon, we need to take extreme ownership of the mission that Jesus gave us. We can't just, like, that was God, and that was Jesus, and he was perfect, and I can't just be bothered. Here's the deal. It's a family thing. We're part of God's family, which means that we were woven in to the mission that started way back when in the Garden of Eden. We're a part of that. And this is our time to run this race. We have to be mindful. We have to take extreme ownership and know that we're fulfilling what God has given us to do in our generation. You know, if you remember back in the Garden of Eden, the mission, the first thing that God told Adam and Eve to do was be fruitful and multiply. What Jesus is doing in this verse is basically the same thing. He's saying, bear fruit for my kingdom and multiply, make more disciples. It's not a new thing. It's the same thing, and we're all a part of it. We got to live on mission. So what does that look like? I remember when I was little, I used to think that if you needed to serve God, you needed to become a full-time vocational minister. How many of you guys have had that wrong idea? You don't have to raise your hand. But the thing is, it's like we look at something as holy and serving God, and some things, like if you're an accountant, it's, quote, secular. So this over here is for God, and this over here is what I do to make money. Can I tell you something? That is so wrong. And I think it has hindered us from being able to live on mission, because we put God in this little box over here, and all the things we do on Sunday, and if we serve on a dream team, that's holy. But if we're over here working our, quote, secular job, it's not. Well, it is. That is a wrong mindset. When we lived in Israel, there were so many little reminders because of the law in the Old Testament. If you've been reading around with us in the Read Scripture app, there's so many reminders and little things that God put into place, like put them on your doorpost, put the tassels. He wanted them to be mindful all the time that they couldn't do anything without him. Yeah. He is everywhere and he is in everything. Just because it's not a vocational ministry, it is your ministry. When we say no, grow, do, we don't just mean on a dream team in church. We mean that we are a people that is set apart to do the will of God wherever we go. And the word of God says it so plainly in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read it from the Message because I think it's beautiful the way it puts it. It says like this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Everywhere we go, we are on mission. You have been designed and created to do things for God and for his kingdom. Before the foundations of the earth, he knew you were going to be here right now. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for me to do. If we forget that we're on mission, we're not going to complete the mission that God has given us. We have to always be mindful. God has placed you exactly where you're at, and you can literally, by the power of the Holy Spirit, transform and make businesses and stores or wherever you work successful just because you work there. God wants to prosper you. Everything that you put your hands to is holy, and he wants to prosper. He has given you gifts and talents, like the gift of wisdom and knowledge, and all these things are not just so you can minister in church. It's meant to be out there. We're the salt of the earth, which means like if this is our salt shaker, we need to get outside of the shaker and salt a little bit. So you need to be salt and light in your workplace. That is your mission. Not just because you can reach the people that are there because you can, but also you can use the gifts that God has given you to do something beautiful and bring heaven to earth right where you're at. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to excel. He wants to be Lord of every part of our society through you. You have been handed the baton, but it needs to be for the sake of the kingdom. And that's an upside down way of living, because everybody here on earth, really we live for the great American dream. It's what is my plan? What is my mission? Here's my 10-year plan. Here's what I want out of life. And that's what we're striving after. Living uncommon means that we live on mission for God, not for ourselves. It's an upside down thing. But once we surrender that, there is such purpose and joy and beauty that comes from joining in with the mission of God that was here from the very beginning of time. It's beautiful. Whatever arena you work in, God wants to consecrate that work for him. Acts 20, verse 24, I love this. It says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I can finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given us. Our task is to go and make disciples. All of us, that is our mission. The second thing that it means to live uncommon is to be set apart. If you're reading along, again, we've been in Leviticus and it's been talking about the priesthood. And you know how there was a nation of Israel and they had 12 tribes. And then God said, this one tribe, the Levites, I'm going to set them apart to become priests for me. And only these people can serve me in the tabernacle and in the Holy of Holies. 1 Chronicles 23 talks about it in verse 13. It says, Aaron and his descendants were set apart to dedicate the most holy things and to offer sacrifices in the Lord's presence and serve the Lord and to pronounce blessing in his name forever. So there was this one family, this one lineage, they were set apart. They weren't different than anybody else until God chose them and he pulled them over here and he said, these are the chosen ones. And you know what that meant? That meant they had to live different. They had to dress different. They had all these like garbs that they had to wear. They had to put a, I don't know, turban thing on their head with like a gold plate here and sashes and pingly bells and all this stuff. They looked different. They also had a stricter standard for how they had to live. They had to make sure that they were clean and pure so that they could go into the holy presence of God without it killing them, honestly, because God was so holy, they had to become pure so they wouldn't be just unholy in the presence of a holy God. And that was the way for thousands of years that it was until Jesus. But when Jesus came, something different happened. Because in the Old Testament, if a priest that was meant to go into the presence of God touched something impure, like blood, or he came into contact with somebody that had skin disease, let's say, it made that priest impure, and he couldn't go into the presence of God until he had become ritually pure. What happens when Jesus came? Jesus came, and he was holy, and he was totally pure, and everybody that he touched, instead of it making Jesus impure, he made them whole. So we read in the scriptures where there were people that had skin diseases and leprosy, and Jesus went and he touched them, and instead of it coming on him, he made them whole. Whatever we touch is meant to become whole because we are an extension of Jesus. Instead of us being afraid of being out in the world in case we get polluted, we are meant to be salt and light. It's a whole other thing. It's different. And instead of it being one little tribe that could be set apart to serve God, instead 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation. You are God's very own possession. And he's talking about everybody. It's not just a chosen few, all of us. If you have put your faith in Jesus, you are a priest. He has made us into a kingdom of priests, God's very own possessions. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. He has called you out of darkness and into his beautiful light. But the thing is, it does mean we live different. Brad's taught on that in recent weeks. When you're set apart and when you're holy, it means that you live different from the world because you live God's way. If you're going to live uncommon, it means not only are you on mission, you are set apart for God. And I'm not talking about some religious outward thing. And let me just put a pause there because we want to be holy and we want to pursue holiness. And that is wonderful. But you know, sometimes we can get into all the like nitty gritty, like what does holiness look like? What is it really? What can I and what can't I? Why is it we put holiness in this can and can't thing? I don't know, but it's what we do. Our human mind can't wrap ourselves around it any other way. We're like, well, can we wear a hat to church? How short can a skirt be? Or is it okay to have tattoos? You know you've asked these questions. And everybody like bickers about it because the word of God, like you can't quite figure it out. It says be modest, but what does that mean? And don't mark yourself, but Jesus has a tattoo. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Here's the thing. If we're going to pursue holiness, it's a holiness of the heart. It's a holiness of the heart. And once we try to figure it all out, what so often happens is like we get over here in this ditch where we're like, okay, I figured out what's holy. Here's how we're supposed to live. These are the do's. These are the don'ts. This is exactly how short the skirt can be. This is, you know, exactly. We figured it out. Now, all of a sudden, you've put yourself in a place to judge everybody else that's not living up to your perception of holiness. Can I tell you something? That is religion. That is not God, and that is not holiness. He did not make you the judge. It's between them and God, and it's between you and God. So we want to pursue holiness with all of our hearts, but we are not going to do religion, and we're not going to do judgy. That religious spirit is so easy to pick it up. So if that's a problem for you, just stop. We're not going to do that. If you find yourself thinking, well, they shouldn't be doing this, they shouldn't be doing that, you do you, and let them worry about them between them and God. It's okay. We're all going to make it in the end, even if we don't believe exactly the same about every single thing. But the Bible is very clear that we are set apart and we are to live holy. That is how we are uncommon. Romans 11:36 says, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. This is the whole deal now, is that everything we do, because you are priests, not some people, everybody, everything that you do as a set apart priest for God is now to God, for God, from God, and for God. It doesn't matter what your job is, it's a holy thing. You are working on mission, set apart for something that is for God's glory, whatever that is. Romans 12, verse 1 through 2. We read it earlier, verse 1, but I want to read on into verse 2, where it talks about, in the Amplified Version, we read the message late earlier. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourself. As a priest, we dedicate all of ourselves to be set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. Here's the bit I want to get to. Do not be conformed by this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. That's how we need to be different, is to be not transformed by the world and its superficial values and customs. But instead, be transformed and progressively change as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes. Okay, this whole verse, like, we should just live in it for a month. There's so much here, but I want to pause right here. So we talked about how you are on mission and that God had created for you things to do a long, long time ago. How many of you guys have ever worried about the will of God for your life? I know it used to stress me out. I'm like, well, am I exactly doing what I'm supposed to be doing? What are these preconceived things that I'm supposed to do? What if I'm not fulfilling it? What if I'm over here doing something good, but God wants me over there? How do I really, really know? And I remember praying and fasting, especially when I was like choosing what to do after high school. And I was like, I just don't want to miss it. But here's the thing that I realized. If we read on in this verse, it says that we'll discern the will of God. I always thought that it meant as it came to holiness, because the verse is talking about, you know, set yourself apart and then you'll know the will of God. Here's the deal. Let's read it. By renewing your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is. Here it is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. The deal is that your destiny and purpose and the will of God for your life is intertwined with you living set apart and holy. If you are being renewed and walking out, being set apart and holy before God, he's going to show you what his perfect will for your life is. He's going to show you the plan. It's so easy. I used to think it was this lofty like word from heaven, like maybe I needed to have an angel come and speak to me. But really, this verse says, if you live set apart, you're not living according to the customs of this world, I will show you my perfect will as it pertains to your life and the plan I have for you. It's just a daily thing, one step at a time. And do you really think, if you want to do the will of God, that God's just like going to hide it from you? Like, here am I wanting to serve you, Lord. I'm trying so hard to figure out what you want me to do. And he's like, yeah, I have this whole plan and purpose and good things for you to do, but I'm just going to keep it from you. I'm not going to show you. Even when you ask me, I'm just not going to tell you. Why would he do that? He wants you to do it even more than you do, because it's meant to bless other people and further his kingdom. He's not going to let you miss it. The only way you would miss it is if you're willfully like, I don't want to even ask you, Lord. I'm just going to do my own thing. But if you ask him and if you pursue him, you live on mission and you live set apart, you're not going to miss it. You can't. He's going to show you. The word of God says so. Deuteronomy 14:2, you have been set apart as holy to the Lord. He has chosen you from all the nations and set you apart to be his own special treasure. God is so good that he would choose us. Like, all we have to do is say yes to Jesus, and then suddenly we are priests and everything we do is holy and anointed and unto him. And we become a part of this story that started all the way back in the Garden of Eden to fulfill the mission to be fruitful and multiply and make disciples everywhere. That is what it means to live uncommon, is that we are not forgetful of the mission we have. We are always on a mission trip. Just consider your life here a short-term mission trip, because in the light of eternity, it is. And we need to be focused on that. We can't just come to church on Sunday and then forget about it for the rest of the week. And then we need to live set apart and holy. as it befits us because we are priests. And everything we do, there's not secular and sacred. It's all for the kingdom of God. And he wants to prosper us everywhere we go. If you're a teacher, if you're a bank teller, that is God's purpose for you. And he wants you to do amazing at it. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are not like that. And when it says like that, it's talking about the rest of the world. Because in your workplace, you are in the rest of the world. We don't need to hide out and stay in our own little bubble. But when we're out there, it says, you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God because he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Everywhere we go, we can show the goodness of God. We can imitate God in everything that we do. And the last thing that I wanted to mention when it comes to living uncommon, because obviously everything in the Word of God could be living uncommon. The fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, a life of prayer, you know, it's not something that the rest of the world does. I get that. But the third thing that God put on my heart to share with you today is that we are to be full of joy. The joy of the Lord. It sounds so simple, but can I tell you something? If you are on mission and you are to be the light and you are a priest and you're inviting other people to come on that mission, but you are grumpy, nobody's going to want any part of your mission. I'm speaking to myself as well. The Word of God, I mean, we take ourselves too seriously sometimes. The Word of God is filled with scriptures about joy and that Jesus wanted to give us a life to be enjoyed. And the rest of the world, if you look around, they're angry about something all the time. And they're offended about something all the time. And they're worried about stuff all the time. And they're frustrated about stuff. Can I tell you, it is much easier and much more simple to not be uncommon, but to just start venting your frustration on Facebook and Instagram. And to just slide right in there with the fear of, well, what's going to happen now? Da, 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 da. That is common. We are not to be that way. We need to live above that and be different. Part of being different is having the joy of the Lord. Let's read it in John 10 and verse 10. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose, this is Jesus talking, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. We are meant to enjoy life. I mean, it's kind of sad that that's uncommon, but everybody seems so unhappy. We are not meant to be unhappy. John 15:11, it says, I've told you these things so that you may be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. When Jesus came, it says that he saved us. He gave us salvation. Salvation, the word there is sozo, which doesn't just mean that he rescued us from sin. It meant that he made us whole. It has to do with body, soul, and spirit, with your mind, that you are completely made whole. If you're sick, that you're made well. We are meant to be flourishing and doing well. It's not that it's sin for your mind to be tormented or struggling with unhappiness or depression. Not at all. But God's best for you. And God's best for me is that we would have the joy of God and an abundant life. And he wants to heal us so that we can enjoy. The world is reaching for an answer. And if we're just the same as them, how is that uncommon? How is that different? And how is that meant to be an inspiration for anybody to join us on our journey and on our mission? Philippians 4:4, it says, always be full of the joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let's not be grumpy. I know that doesn't maybe sound like the most spiritual revelation, but can I tell you something? If we live this out, it'll change your life. If we choose joy, it'll change our lives. And I love Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. The house of God is not meant to be like this religious thing that we endure. It's meant to be joyful. It's the most fun thing you can do. On Friday night, we had Beloved here, and we did karaoke, and we took pictures, and we ate, and we played games. We worshiped too, but we just had fun. We can't just be so religious and serious that we can't have fun in church. Like, come here, enjoy one another, enjoy worship. The Word of God says that praise relieves the spirit of heaviness. Just worship, like, I don't know. When I was little, I feel like we danced more in church. Like we were always dancing in worship. I don't know. I'm just saying like there's the time for worship, but there's also time for praise. We need to just shake off this world and the things of this world and then take that joy that's meant to bubble over and bring it to our workplace and wherever we at. So to live uncommon. That's my challenge to myself lately and it's my challenge to you as well. I want us to be a church that's on mission. Where we're not just thinking about God and making disciples on Sundays? Like, I know we're passionate and excited when we clap when people come and make a light bulb, but are you just as passionate to get up on Tuesday morning and do an amazing job at your work? Because God, the Bible says that, you know, it's good for a man to work. He has put you there. That's a blessing. That job's a blessing. He doesn't just save us. And then he's like, okay, now that you're mine, you're a holy priest. You shouldn't work. You should just sit at home and pray and fast all the time. And just manna from heaven will fall to, you know, provide for you. That's not what God says. He meant us to work and to succeed in what we do. So we need to do that as unto the Lord. And while we're there, be thinking about the light bulbs and not just about our own career, but like, God, who can I reach with salt and light today? How can I be on mission today? That mission that started all the way back in the Old Testament. And I just want to recap a couple of these things for you when it comes to the Old Testament and the New Testament, because it's so cool that we're part of a story that's like bigger than us. We're just this little blip in the middle of all of history. In the Old Testament, God said, be fruitful and multiply. In the New Testament, we have the Great Commission. Bear fruit and make disciples. That's our mission, but it ties in. In the Old Testament, only Levites were priests to serve God, but now we are all priests. All of us are. In the Old Testament, you had to become pure to go into the temple. But aren't you so glad that after Jesus, we come as we are, and then Jesus makes us pure? He switched that whole thing back to how it was meant to be. Only God is holy, but when we come to him, he makes us holy now. In the Old Testament, priests were made unholy if they touched something unclean. When Jesus touches the unclean, it becomes holy. Therefore, when you touch something unclean, don't be worried about it like staining you somehow. Don't you think the power of God and the saving power of God on the inside of you is like stronger than whatever is out in the world? It is. If you don't believe that, then how are we on mission? Like, then we just need to hide in here, close the doors, and be like, God, help us survive until you come back, Lord Jesus. Don't let us be stained by the world. That's not right. He gave us the baton and he said, you are now my mission. In the Old Testament, they celebrated feasts. Did you ever notice as you read through the Old Testament, God instituted so many times of the year to party? And a lot of those parties we lived in Israel are like week-long things, like the Feast of Tabernacles, like legit. People take off work the whole week, like country just shuts down, and they still build little tabernacles on their porches and on their balconies if they live in an apartment, and they eat out there, and some of them even sleep out there in this tabernacle, and they party every single night. They like all the neighbors come together. It's over and over and over again. God wants us to have fun. I don't know when we decided that religion was supposed to be super serious. Maybe it was at the same time as we started judging people. I don't know. But it was not God's intent. That did not sound so harsh in my mind when I said it, but if the shoe fits, then I'll just smother you for a little bit. We shouldn't judge. It makes you grumpy, and it doesn't affect the other person at all because they're doing their best before God. We are meant to have fun and live an abundant life. God wants you to have friends over and invite them and enjoy church. Let's just have fun on this uncommon journey that we're all on because God made us that way from the beginning, that we are meant to feast before him, not just get all serious. You know, maybe you're in here and you're like, that sounds crazy. I don't know about this mission and all these things, but I do know that I'm not close with God. The reason that Jesus came, his very, very first mission was to come for you and for me. That's the reason he came from heaven all the way down to earth where he didn't have to. But the Bible says that he loved us while we were yet sinners so much that he came to die in our place. The wages for sin is supposed to be death, but Jesus came and he took that instead of us so that we could again be united with God and join in that mission with him. If you could all just stand to your feet for a minute. I have two things that I want to talk about this morning. One is if you've never known Jesus, and the other one is that maybe you're not living on mission. Maybe you've just gotten so used to, well, I'm raising the kids, I'm doing my job, I'm just living my life. Why are you talking about that it needs to be all God-focused? Like, that just sounds stressful. Listen, it's what you and I were created to do. It actually adds joy to your life. If you want to know what the meaning of life is, it's joining in with the mission of God. That's the meaning of life. And once you do that, he'll lead you step by step into what you were purposed to do. And that is when our joy becomes full, is when we're doing what God has planned for us, and he can use us to be the salt and light on the earth. So we're going to go in a little bit here into a time of worship. And while we're worshiping, I just want you to think about that. Like, am I really on mission, or have I forgotten that I'm on a mission trip while I'm here on earth? Or maybe you haven't been living set apart. Set apart means holy. Maybe there's some areas of your life where you feel like you're not any different than the world. You've just gotten too accustomed to everything that's around you, and you are too much like them to be called set apart. It's meant to stick out. Like Brad said the other week, like, be the fish that's swimming upstream. It's okay to be different. I don't know why we all think we gotta fit in everywhere. We're meant to stick out. So think about that. And then the last thing is, maybe the enemy has stolen your joy. Maybe you're just not happy. There's no condemnation in that, but I know that God has more for you. He wants you to have an abundant life filled with joy. He never meant to put like this heavy burden on you. He meant to complete your heart, heal your soul. And I also want to talk to those of you that don't know Jesus. Maybe you're in here and you're not even sure why you're here. Or maybe you're watching online and you've been listening and you're wondering, how can I become part of that mission? Like I said earlier, Jesus came and you were his mission. You are why he came. And he didn't make it hard for us to become set apart. All he said is, you have to believe in me and ask me to come in. Revelations 3:20 says, listen, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone at all, doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to sozo you. He wants to save you and heal you, body, soul, and spirit. And in case there's somebody who needs to say that prayer today. Maybe somebody, you walked with God a long time ago, but you have not lived set apart. You have not lived on mission. You've walked away from church and from God. And this is your day to come back to Jesus. This prayer is for you as well, because it's never too late. Never too late. We're just all going to pray it together. If you could just bow your heads and close your eyes and repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I make you the Lord of my life. I believe that you are the Son of God who came with a mission to save me. And today I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. That's as easy as it is to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, you went from death to life, you were set apart, and you became a child of God. We have these light bulbs over here that we're adding for everybody that gave their heart to Jesus. We've got a book and a couple of different things that we want to give to you. So if you prayed that prayer this morning and you meant it in your heart, you really, really meant it, would you just slide your hand up so I can see who did that? Because the ushers are going to come and bring you a gift. Yes, I see a hand over there. Thank you so much. Yay, Jesus. Yeah, thank you.